ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
The land truly flows with milk and honey. And what was the problem? After that, it was the next word. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. And you could put whatever is stopping you from moving forward, just as the children of Israel did here. The people in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Let me ask you a question here. Was what they were saying about the people, their cities, the giants, all true? Absolutely was true. Absolutely. I mean, they did exaggerate some. You know, the land which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Then there were giants there, the Anak. Well, yeah, they were. We were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight. But take away some of the exaggeration. The land, the people, the fortified cities were overwhelming. And how in the world are these group of people who just, you know, had come out of slavery, they've been walking in the wilderness or they've been out there for probably a little over a year now, how are they going to be able to drive out and win these battles? See, from a human perspective, as you look at the enemy and you look at this ragtag group of people, yeah, they were 2.5-3 million, but what kind of weapons of war did they have? They didn't have fortified cities. They were out attacking these cities. So how could they win? How would they drive them out? They couldn't win. They couldn't take this land away from these people. Did God say He wanted them to do it on their own? Or did God say, I'm going to do it through you? I've given you this land. See, God gave it to them. And we read that here in Joshua all over again, 40 years later. In fact, in Numbers 13, 1 through 2, we're told the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. God gave them the land. What did they have to do? They had to enter it. They had to walk by faith. They needed to trust in God's promise to them. And yeah, the people were great. The cities were fortified. There were giants in the land. And that was not the issue. God's the issue. And He's the one who promised to give them the victory. Do you think when the spies came back and gave this nevertheless report, that God was like, wow, I didn't see that coming. There are giants in the land. Those cities are pretty big. I don't know how I'm going to handle that. We laugh at that. But we encounter those things. And there are these giants of people or power. There's these fortified cities or whatever that are in our way and we get overwhelmed. And we can't do it. We take God out of the picture. You think, well, what were they supposed to do? They were just to walk by faith. And that's what we read here. Look at, again, Joshua chapter 1. Look at verses 2 through 4. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. This was a walk of faith, guys, trusting in the promises of God. But they trusted God some, but they didn't fully take all the land that God had given to them. Like I said, not even close. What happens many times is as we become discouraged, and we start, oh, what are we going to do? It's, oh my gosh, it's so bad. We bring others with us, and they start listening to the things we're saying. Oh, it is really bad. Oh, we're really in trouble. How are we going to win? And what are we doing? We're taking their eyes off of God too. That's what happened in Numbers 14, verses 1 through 4. When these 10 spies came back, gave this bad report, this is the result of their bad report to the entire nation of Israel, except for Joshua and Caleb, who said, let's go and take the land. It says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. That's what unbelief does. It's catchy. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to the world. They're tired with the wilderness stuff. They didn't believe God had given them the promised land. And they were going to go back to bondage. And for Moses, you know, sending out the 12 spies, it represented the entire nation. And from 10 spies, we got an entire nation weeping, right? Except for two people, Joshua and Caleb. It is amazing how we can lose sight of what God has for us and get so discouraged that we don't trust in the Lord. All this land, God said, some 30,000 square miles is yours. Oh, 3,000 is good. I'm comfortable with that. Take it all. And we read these stories sometimes and we think, how could they do that? I mean, come on, God was with them. Look at all that God had done in their lives. Remember what Paul said in Romans 15:4? For whatever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. These are lessons for us. Don't think we're any better. Look at all that God has done in your life. And then he tells you, I want you to take this step. Kind of like putting our toe in there. I don't know, man. It's kind of cold. I don't know. Those are giants in the land. The land devours people. Look, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? We're no different. It's really just a lack of faith. And not taking what God has given us. It's complacency, compromise. God's given us these victories. We've got to walk by faith, though. Alan Redpath wrote the following in regard to the Christian's victory in Christ and stepping out in faith. This is what he wrote. Full blessing in the Christian life is not bestowed except to eager, hungry people who press in to receive it. True, God has blessed us all with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, but the blessing is in heavenly places, and these are places to which Satan has access and where he still can cast all his fiery darts. God does not bless his child unless he sees him eager for the blessing. He desires every one of his children to press in against all the assaults of the enemy, that we may lay hold of that which is our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that every foe we shall ever meet in that battle already has been met and conquered by our Joshua. Just as God has promised the children of Israel, he's given us promises as well. He's given us victory no matter how big the enemy may be, how strong of an area of the flesh it may be in your life. What do we have to do to have that victory? Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Are you willing to do that? Stand on the promises of God. Believe them by faith and walk accordingly. And think about it. In these battles we face, such as lust, pride, greed, and so on, God has given us the victory. But unless we step forward and tread upon that territory, giving it to the Lord, we're not going to see the victory. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do all things through Christ, not apart from him. And that's where we get into trouble. We try to do it on our own. In 1 John 5, verses 4 through 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, my intelligence. You're laughing at my intelligence? No, it's our faith. Isn't that interesting? Our victory is in our faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. Who is he who overcomes the world, John says, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's our victory. What are you going to give to him? Are you going to walk by faith? This is yours, Lord. I'm giving it to you. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to walk. That's where our victory is found. And it's not just a faith in anything. It's faith in Jesus Christ and His promises to us. As we walk in the Spirit by faith, we'll see the salvation that the Lord brings to the situations we face. Paul in Hebrews 11:1 said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It's interesting because that word substance means title deed or ownership. Well, how does that apply to our faith? Well, think about it. God has promised something to you in His Word, and thus faith is believing you already own what God has promised, even though you don't see it yet. It hasn't come to pass. Now, I'm not talking about name it, claim it. Don't go down that path, okay? But I'm talking about trusting in God's promise to us. Does God want to give us victories in these areas? Absolutely He does. There's no doubt about it. God had promised the children of Israel the land of Canaan, and it was theirs even though they didn't possess it yet. The promise was sure, 100% sure. All they had to do was walk by faith and obtain what God had already given them. And I believe the same is true for us. Faith believes without seeing. And like the children of Israel, many Christians stop short of all that God has for them. The promise He has given to them, and the reason being is that they lack the faith to walk. They don't trust in the promises of God, or they give up too easily. They become complacent. One writer said, "You can possess all that you want, but never more than you take. If you're satisfied with where you are and how much of the Spirit you possess, you'll never take any more than what you have. If you haven't possessed more, it's because you haven't wanted more. You can have all you want." And I guess the question is, how much do we want? Do you want to see those victories in your life? You have to walk by faith then. And engage in those battles and see the victory that God can give you. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:4, "By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The Amplified Bible puts this verse like this: "By means of these He has bestowed on us His precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature." The Living Bible puts it like this: "And by that same mighty power, He has given us all the other rich and wonderful blessings He promised. For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us and to give us His own character." For some Christians, it's just about getting saved. You know, I'm saved, what? That's it. You know, what more do I need? But think about it. If it was all just about us getting saved, why doesn't God just take us home the minute we're saved? Right? Doesn't He have anything more for us? Absolutely. There's a lot more in this life. God not only takes us out of Egypt or the world, but He wants to bring us into the promised land or that abundant life. He wants us to grow and mature. And He wants us to trust in His precious promises because He has allowed us to be His ambassadors for Christ, going out into the world and showing what God has done in our lives so that others could see it and come to that saving faith. Again, you know what Peter said, so that through them, these precious promises, we may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Man, just like the children of Israel face battles in Canaan, we face battles in this world. It's a battle of the flesh against the spirit. And whatever you're feeding the most is what's going to be manifested in your life. But God wants us to be sharers or partakers of that divine nature, but we have to trust in Him. You know, Paul talked about the battle between the flesh and the spirit and what's manifested in our lives in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. He said, "I say then, walk in the Spirit and shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." You understand, when you sin, when you're doing something that is against what God has said in His Word, you surrender to the flesh. It's a spiritual battle. And what the world has for us and what God has are contrary. God has what's best. Do we want what's not best for our lives? And Paul said, continued on, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, the flesh wants to manifest its nature in your life. And when it does, it's not pretty. We've all experienced it. Maybe we've experienced it already this morning. We experience, I think, every day. It's a battle we face. But here's the thing. Why do we keep going down these paths? Well, sometimes because there's pleasure in it, at least for a time. And the flesh controls our lives. Even as Christians, we can allow it to. But God says, no, surrender to the Spirit. Walk where He's called you to walk. And you'll see the victories over the flesh, and you'll see the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. That agape love that is manifested in many, many wonderful ways, as Paul said in Galatians. And look at all that God has given to us. Precious promises that He's given to us. And again, Peter said, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us and to give us His own character. The nature of God flowing through our lives. That's what God is doing. What do you think God is molding and shaping us into? To be more like Him. His nature flowing from our lives. It's not just, you know, the two natures. It's not just the flesh and the Spirit that I think that God is speaking of here in Joshua and in Peter. But I think there's physical areas in our lives where God says, I want you to take a step of faith. You know, maybe it's a job. Maybe it's this, it's that. I don't know. I'll give you a couple examples. Several years ago, the Lord opened the door for me to come full-time in ministry, and I didn't have to work as a registered nurse any longer to supplement my income. And God usually does things that don't make sense to get us to walk by faith. I mean, sometimes it's like the most ridiculous thing to do, but we have to trust in Him. And I think it was about 8 years ago or so, the Lord put it upon my heart that I needed to step out in faith and come full-time in ministry. There was one problem. This is from a purely human perspective, okay? The economy was in the toilet. And it was not in the toilet only. It was swirling going down, okay? It was so bad. It wasn't good. People were losing jobs. The stock market tanked. Homes weren't selling. Things were horrible. And yet the Lord said, I want you to quit your job. Come full-time in the ministry. So from a human perspective, it would have been much better for me to wait. That's never the right thing to do, not listening to God. The Lord said, don't test the waters. Don't cut back your hours. Maybe, you know, take 20 hours off your work week. Quit your job. Well, just a little toe in there? Just a little? No. Here I am, you know, 8 years later, and look at what the Lord has done. I wonder what would have happened if I doubted God, if I didn't walk by faith. Maybe I'd still be working outside the church to supplement the income because I didn't take those steps. The second one is, you know, the radio tower, and I'm sure you're all fully aware of what happened with that. When we got a radio station like 12 years ago, and the city said, you know, you can have a tower that's 12 feet above the highest part of your building. And so we used the garage, which is a little higher than this building, and we were able to get our tower 28 feet high. That was it. A few years back, the Lord put it upon our hearts to see if we could put a higher tower up, and the city kept turning us down, and we tried everything. And finally, they said to, I think they told Conrad, why don't you just put up a steeple? Put up a steeple and go 15 feet above the steeple, and that could be like a tower to you. We're like, well, all right. So we contacted a company to come and do the work, and you know, they kind of drew up some plans, and it was going to be a pretty big project because they couldn't just put a steeple 45 feet high on the back building. They had to actually put it to the floor of that garage building and get it cemented down, bolted down, because that's a pretty high steeple. And he wasn't real excited about doing it, but he would do it. You know, we were going to pay him for it, so he was going to do it. And the guy who was overseeing the projects thought, you know, I'm going to look at the books and see. He said, no, I don't see anything in here that says we can't put up a tower. So he went to the city. Keep in mind, we've been doing this for years, asking the city for a higher tower. And he went in and said, you know, I don't see any reason why they can't have a tower to put their radio antenna on. And the city goes, either do I. Go ahead. What? You know, you just, it blows your mind. You just don't get it. But that's what they said. It was okay to put up this, you know, 50-foot tower and, you know, another 15 feet then for the antenna above that. Here's what God told us to do. He didn't tell us, you know, just step in, test the water, see what'll happen. Jump in. And granted, for the steeple, to put a steeple up here would have been a huge amount of money. Huge. The radio ministry is different than the church. They don't share funds. The radio ministry is completely separate. It really doesn't have money coming into it except what people donate. There's only, of all the people that are on the radio station as teachers, there's only three that donate some money, and that's it. But God has always provided. We've never had to ask the church, we need some money to do this, we need some money to do that, to take from the church account. But God provided. But here's the thing. With the steeple, how are we going to do this? But I really felt, let's not test this. Let's not, this is what God wants us to do, let's do it. And if we didn't take that step with the steeple, we would have never got to the tower. Because God said, before you get the tower, you have to go get the plans for the steeple. Seems kind of crazy. It would have been much easier to go just with the tower, but he did it that way. And he provided all the funds for it. And I wonder how much God has given to us that we're not possessing because we're not walking by faith. You know, Paul in Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I don't think we realize all that we have in our hands, all that God has given to us, but he says, walk by faith. Now, maybe you heard the story, a man who came in and robbed a convenience store and he got away with $124. And he held the clerk up with a gun. And he was arrested a short time later for his crime. And here's the interesting thing. The old gun that he used to rob the store was an old Civil War era pistol. It was worth $23,000. He robbed a store for $125 with a $23,000 Civil War pistol. Wow. The treasure he had right there in his hand, he didn't even realize. And many Christians are like that. God's promise to us is not meaningless. It's true. And we have to have that heart that's willing to walk by faith and receive all that God has for us, not just the physical territory, but spiritual as well, as we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Look here again in Joshua 1. Look at the first part of verse 5. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Remember when the children of Israel were to enter the land and the spies came back and said the people are numerous and they're giants in the land, it's not going to work. How in the world are we going to stand against them? What does the Lord tell them here? "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." There's a promise of God for them, and really I think for us. Tragically, as we'll see as we go through Joshua, they didn't completely drive out the enemies in the end, those enemies brought them down. In Joshua 15:63, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day." They didn't completely destroy them. Joshua 16:10, "And they did not drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites to this day and have become forced laborers." Joshua 17, verses 12 through 13, "Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out." The lesson is simple, guys. You cannot leave pockets of resistance in your life or in the end, they will bring you down. As you hang around those who are living immoral lifestyles, they will bring you down. As you hang around those who are doing evil things, they will bring you down. If you don't defeat the enemy, it will defeat you. I've used the illustration before, but you could try this at home. You stand up on a chair, have someone stand up on the ground. You're the Christian. They're the wicked person who's trying to destroy your life. You try to pull them up on that chair. How hard is that? Now let them try to pull you down, and how easy it is.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.